Welcome to the Dear Lovejoy podcast, and today is another special, and it's very, very special for myself today because I'm having a conversation with Helen Chamberlain. Used to be my TV wife for 11 years. I did Soccer AM starting in 1996, ending up in 2007. I enjoyed every moment. Helen and I had quite an interesting relationship. We were very close. We used to argue like brother and sister a lot, and it was quite amusing. So we discuss all that in today's podcast. It's quite a long conversation, isn't it? We just get started, and it's a strange podcast because it's like you're sitting in a cafe listening to two people bang on over a cup of coffee. Is that how you describe
it? About old times, yes, certainly. I personally think maybe do it in two parts.
It is quite long, yeah. Because what we do is we try and go through what the football industry was like when I started Soccer AM and joined the show, and Helen was there 20 odd years ago, and then kind of moving through what happened through those 11 years to the football industry. So it's quite an interesting...
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant.
It's a meander. We talk about a lot about Soccer AM and all the stuff we did there. So if you watch Soccer AM, if you're one of those people who did it, I think you'll enjoy it. Okay, maybe we'll split it into two parts and then we'll put them out and see what people think.
It's slightly different from your normal ones because you weren't really interviewing.
Just sitting having a chat.
And also it was really nice because Helen actually came with some prepared questions for you. And she did all 12 of them as well, which was...
No, she didn't. All right, listen, it is long, so let's get on with it. Here's Helen.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into Dear Lovejoy.
Helen, welcome to my kitchen. You've been here a couple of times. It's changed though, hasn't it, since the last time you were here?
Colour scheme, no. Outlay, no. But I'm figuring it's new units.
Yeah. There's a hot tap there, which is really very special.
Is that the same hot tap where they do that really stupid commercial? You can make your tea, you can make your coffee, you can even prepare your vegetable, you can even prepare your tomatoes.
Yeah, you
where
can.
They're just pouring water on tomatoes.
Yeah. Don't knock it, it's one of the best inventions ever.
How many times have you poured hot water on tomatoes?
Most days. No, but I use it to I don't want to turn this into a cooking feature, Helen, but I use it most days just to, if you're going to do some rice or some vegetables of some description, just put boiling water in it. Honestly, once you've got one, have you not got one? Oh, you square. Right. I buy everyone a present who comes on the show. Buying a present for you is impossible because you don't drink, you don't eat anything with a face, you don't like anything too fussy. And I saw these and I thought, you're not going to like them, but I'll buy them for you anyway.
Wait, I can already see it's some sort of chocolate.
Yeah, it's Grissini's in chocolate. And I don't, that's bread. I like
bread
that. I
think, and chocolate.
I think you like bread still, do you? Do you like bread still?
Committing carbicide there. I got you a present.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, no, she's going into a bag. And after, oh, thank you. Grapefruit.
Wait.
And a pear.
Wait. It's a perfectly ripe pear.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you like fruit?
I do like fruit, so thank you very much. That's good.
Our birthdays are 5 days apart.
Still. And?
And I remember we used to, because there would be that Friday that we were in Sky working on Soccer AM, and it'd be between our two, so it'd be after my birthday, before your birthday, and the pair of us would, like half an hour before our script meeting, go, shit, I haven't got anything. Luckily, that Tesco's that's bailed everybody out 1,000 times is opposite Sky. And I bought you a Malteser Easter egg because end of March, beginning of April.
Yeah.
And you bought me a bottle of wine. And we exchanged this bottle of wine and Malteser Easter egg. And you don't eat chocolate and I don't drink.
Yeah, you don't drink, do you?
So we looked at each other and just went, this is how much we care about each other.
Yeah.
He bought me a present that I don't use and I bought him a present that he doesn't use.
How's the farm going, by the way?
Do you
like those? Do you like the idea of bread and chocolate? Is it too fussy for you? Because you don't like fussy stuff, do you?
Where have you got that from?
Well, you don't like my cat.
What?
You don't like my cat because she's posh. And where is she? You used to always say, I don't like your cat.
Right.
You should get a proper cat. That's a posh cat. I mean, my cat is a bit ridiculous, but
the it wasn't that I didn't like your cat. It's just throughout my life, I rescue animals. Yeah. I still rescue animals.
I know.
And I just didn't like the fact that you went out and spent loads of money on a cat when there are so many meow meow. I haven't got a home. Meow 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 meow. Mm-hmm. And it's still a cat. It's still a cat.
Yeah.
And you went mad with me. One of the millions of times that you went completely mad at me. Oh, you're stupid. You don't know what you're talking about because you get like dogs are all and I went, yeah, because the difference is if an Alsatian is a big dog and a Jack Russell is a little dog, a cat is a cat.
Yeah.
Is a cat.
Mine's nice to touch though. How is the farm going? It's not a farm, is it?
It's a small holding.
It's just got a lot of, but what have you got on there at the moment? Last time I went there, I was absolutely amazed. You had rheas and everything, which like ostriches.
Yeah.
Which pecked me. They scared me a bit. They kind of just look at you and you said, don't have anything shiny or I'll attack you.
No, they don't attack. They're looking for food all the time. So they come over and if you've got a particularly shiny button or zip or watch or ring or something, they'll peck at it. So I've still got chickens, ducks, geese, turkeys, rheas. I've got some pigeons now because I found a shot pigeon and I had to sluice the maggots out of its bullet wound. But that's all right.
I've got pigeons then. Some of them sit on that tree outside every now and then.
Yeah, well, this is the thing is I took in injured pigeons and then I've let them go, but they come round every day. They've got an aviary that they keep laying eggs in and making more pigeons. So that's the birds. I've still got
quail. It must be so much work though. What time do you have to get up to feed all those things?
Do you know, everybody says this and I've got automatic feeders and drinkers that can take 20 kilo bags of food and loads of litres of water. So I can fill up the feeders and fill up the drinkers and they're good for 3 or 4 days. I've got automatic pop hole openers and closers. So the birds take themselves to bed, the chickens and the ducks and the geese. I've just had to herd the geese off of the pond, but they go to bed.
And
horses.
What other sorts of animals
have you got? I've got 3 old racehorses. I've got a donkey. I bought myself a donkey for my birthday last year.
Was he the talkie left back? Go on, carry on.
Oh my God.
Carry on.
Oh my God.
What else have you got?
Miniature Shetlands, tiny little ponies.
And?
Pigs.
Okay.
Mangalitsa are wild boars.
How many cars have you got these days?
26.
You do know you're nuts, don't you? I mean, in a nice way, but you are nuts, totally nuts.
Including a bus and a tank.
I know, that was funny when I went around your house. Was there a tank there that day or a bus?
No,
there was a bus or something. There was something really weird at your house that day I went. Like a 50s car or something.
Loads of 50s American cars. My favourite is a 52 Buick Roadmaster. Do you know that's the only time that I've actually hated you?
Why?
When I've got 26 cars at my driveway from old American cars to Karmann Ghias, to buses, to this.
Yeah.
And you got a job on fifth gear.
Fifth gear, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't even like
and
cars.
You know, and at the time, you had a K-Reg, white K-Reg Astra.
I think I've moved on by then, but maybe not.
Maybe a tiny bit.
Maybe not. Yep. But do you know what, though? No, I think I'd got a Cherokee Jeep by then. But anyway, you're right. I didn't like cars particularly. But the reason why they put me on that show was I did one feature on it, and I didn't really particularly like cars, but I kind of found... I quite like working with the producers and stuff there. And they sort of said, why don't you come in and be the person who just represents the person who doesn't like cars? Yeah. So I did it for...
I get it.
I did it for a series. And Christ, if you think football fans are mental, people who love cars, they were really quite vicious about me.
Yeah, I read some of the forums.
This guy knows nothing about cars. But they did do stupid things like they dressed me up as a traffic warden and go walking around London. Yeah. And when they did that, people just shout abuse at you. If you dress up as a traffic warden and walk around London, people shout abuse at you. Even if you're not giving them a ticket, people still wind down the window and shout at you. It was an amazing thing. And they got me to do stunts and stuff. So it was all right.
Yeah, I watched.
But, yeah.
I watched.
Well, why don't you ask them? Why don't you start a show now? All right. Are you still into darts? You are still into darts.
Yeah,
you texted me the other day from the darts.
Yeah, just been to Lakeside and watched the darts. I enjoyed... I went to both. I went to both codes. I went to the PDC and the BDO. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it. I found the PDC this year has crossed the line from atmosphere and crowd. I know they've been singing for years like a football crowd, but this year for me, it just crossed the line into pantomime, stag do. There was not a lot of respect for the final double. Now, I know that the play, it, maybe it's become part of it, that those players, your Gary Andersons, who are someone shouts as they're throwing for a double, or they're doing yah yah, Colo, for God's sake, get a new one, guys, or boring, boring tables, etc. That's getting really boring now. But there was a big lack of respect on the crucial shot, which is what it's about. And I tweeted and I said, I can't imagine this happening at golf or tennis or cricket, that on the actual crucial bit, the bit that's what we all go for in the hole or the thing, that people would be able to start doing all of that nonsense. And even though, yeah, the quality of BDO darts is nowhere near the quality of PDC darts, the respect from the crowd was there, and I enjoyed that more.
Is it a sport? Because you always told me that.
No, it's a game.
All right, because Helen's definition, I've got a lot of Helen's definitions in my mind, in my life. Oh, yeah. One of them is that to be a sport, you have to change your shoes for it to be a sport.
If there's an argument, is it a sport or is it a game?
Yeah.
Look at their footwear. If they're wearing shoes, it's a game.
Okay.
No,
it's good. I like it. I like your theories on life. You've got a lot of them. I don't eat it if it's got a face. Things
no,
like that.
I do.
I like that.
Think I ever said it's, that? I don't know.
You never said that.
I don't think I ever said. I don't.
You did. You invented all that stuff. In my mind, you did. You invented egg chasing, but you probably didn't. But I don't think I invented it.
I think I heard egg chasing.
I was the only one. You were the one who started that. You started a lot of the stuff we got complaints about on Soccer M. All right, let's talk about Soccer M. And I thought it'd be interesting to talk about our history together, how the show grew in popularity and everything. So start from the beginning. And
yeah, you were going to sack me. That was the first thing on your list of things to do, is to get rid of me. He came into Soccer AM. He'd watched a few and went, I don't know what she does. She's pointless. She links to commercial breaks. That's it. Get rid of her. Then he came in. He'd only been a producer, never been on proper telly before.
I've done MTV at the movies. Yeah.
Started reading AutoCue. Fell over it 1,000 times and then went, actually, she at least can do the auto cue.
Do you know what? That's your it. This is going to be an interesting podcast, because that's your version of events. My version of events was I turned up, and I'll tell you how I ended up there in a minute. But I turned up to the show, and I thought, why have we got this woman on this? This is ridiculous. Why is it called Soccer AM? It should be called Football AM. They wouldn't let me change it.
Yeah.
And then I said, why have we got this woman on it? What does she bring to it and everything else? It was probably a very sexist opinion, whatever. I sat down and started talking to you, realized you knew much more about football than I ever did. And you were so invested in it. And it was unbelievable, your passion for it. And I was like, my God, this woman's amazing. But I didn't think they'd ever got it out of you.
I was a token girl, sit on the end of the sofa, just you linked to commercial breaks. I remember we used to, because old Soccer AM was 4 hours. We never moved.
4 hours long, yeah.
4 hours long. We had a really uncomfortable bench with some lockers behind us, which I think then you turned into Soccer Locker.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to look a little bit like a locker room. So we used to sit on these benches for 4 hours.
But no one had embraced the fact that you absolutely lived for Torquay United.
Don't forget, though, my first season, Sky didn't own what was then the Ensley League. They only owned Premier League football. See, people don't, you just remember that I didn't have anything to do. I remember sitting there and they said, who do you support, by the way? They'd seen me on Nickelodeon, and every weekend I used to talk about football. So they got me in and said, who do you support? And it was the deputy head of Sky Sports who saw me. His kids were watching Nickelodeon, and my phone in was blow your own trumpet. What have you done that's so good you've got to tell everyone? This kid phoned up and he said, we've just won our five-a-side football tournament. And I said, oh, that's brilliant. Where do you play? And he said, in goal. I said, who do you support? And he said, Spurs. And I went, you want to be the next Ian Walker then? And the deputy head of Sky Sports put down his newspaper and went,
there's a woman who knows about football.
And went, this is live. That was a live phone call. She knows who the Spurs goalkeeper is. Get her in.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that was it. Get her in for a chat. So I went in for a chat and they said, who do you support? And as my brain went, they don't own lower league football. Don't say Torquay. If you say Torquay United, they're going to go, thanks for coming in. Go back to Nickelodeon. And I thought, well, I'll just say Spurs. Can you imagine that? If I'd lied and said, I'm a Tottenham fan. And what I didn't realise at the time, so I just went, look, it's Torquay United. And there was this silence around the table. Then one of them said, but you do follow the Premier League, don't you? I said, yeah. And what I didn't realise at the time is the two presenters of Soccer AM were Russ Williams, who's a Spurs fan, and Gary Stevens, who played for Spurs. Mm. So if I'd said Spurs, I wouldn't have, they would have gone, we can't have three Spurs fans on. So I
People forget this, but when I first went on Soccer AM, I have to keep on checking myself to make sure I'm just not making this stuff up, right? And my memory's appalling, by the way, so you have to correct me. But when I first went on Soccer AM, I started talking about Chelsea and going to Chelsea. And people used to say to me, I got called in by the bosses one day and said, you're on TV now, Tim. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to say you love your football team. It's not about that. You can, because I kept on going, come on, Chelsea, we're going to win, we're going to win. Whereas Gary Stevens, Russ Williams, all that lot would say they were Spurs, but they wouldn't sort of be so biased towards it. And I got called in and said, you're not allowed to do this, really.
Oh, wow.
And then it sort of, things move on. As we go through, we can talk about some of the things which have changed so dramatically through the football, because it was 20 years ago, apparently, that I joined the show. And yeah, so it's quite a long time ago. Football, the industry, I thought we'd talk about it because the industry has changed so dramatically in 20 years.
It's more than 20 years.
21 years?
Yeah.
Something about like that. 96 I started there.
All right, yeah, that would make sense.
So I want to tell you how I joined, because it's quite interesting, because I was working at, because it talks about the basically the history of the football industry. I was working at the Big Breakfast, and and I knew Martin Turner, who you won't, maybe don't know, but he's a BAFTA award-winning producer, director.
I know Martin Turner.
No, not you. I'm talking about the listener.
Oh!
Of course you know who he is. He was amazingly famous and popular at Sky Sports. He's a great man, though, but he started trying to get me to do some presenting years ago on Sky Sports, and it never came off. And then there was the job up for Soccer M and Soccer Extra at the same time. And I was working at the Big Breakfast, and I tried to put football on the Big Breakfast. There was me and a guy called Andy Harris, a guy called Simon Howley, Chip, a few others who would talk about football there. But basically, people at the Big Breakfast couldn't stand football. No one was interested in it. And I did a thing with John Scales at Liverpool, and I did a thing with Manchester United. And I got Gary Neville and David Beckham on the pitch with Richard Alford, who's the outside broadcaster at the time, who's the presenter of the outside broadcast. And no one knew who Dave Beckham and Gary Neville were at the time. They did a little bit of stuff in there. And I got back and they went, this is a bit boring. Couldn't you get some Red Devils there or something? Because, you know, and I was thinking, oh my God, this is painful. So I went to Sky Sports. They said they had this job, but they said you have to produce Soccer AM and Soccer Extra. And I thought, that's like really hard work. I'd watched the show and I didn't like it particularly.
Which and one? Soccer both. AM or Soccer?
Both. I didn't really like them that much. Yeah. They were all right.
I fell asleep once during Soccer Extra.
Did you?
Yep.
Because you were presenting that as well, weren't you?
Yep.
At this time, yeah. And it was, they weren't brilliant and they were all right. And then Martin Turner told Mark Sharman, who was the boss at the time, that I'd done some presenting. So he phoned me. I think they were a bit desperate, really. And they went, do you want to do it if you do a bit of presenting? I was like, oh, yeah, come on. Play a manager here. I could do both. And that's when I turned up and started doing the show. But in those days, the football industry was really different, wasn't it? The Premier League had just sort of happened, and the excitement had just started happening. But bearing in mind, I've come from a background. I took a pay cut to do it. I'd come from a background where people, mainstream TV, were not interested in football. Footballers were not, there was still footballers and Page Three Girls, stick them together. No one was interested in footballers. And we watched on our show the growth of the industry and the rise of the footballer.
And football as entertainment, football in, not just football that sits in sport and that's it, because there weren't any football based entertainment shows. Because when we used to do interviews years ago and people used to say, what is the success of Soccer AM, I always used to say it's an entertainment show and it's got a lot of football in it. It's kind of based on football and has football in it, as opposed to it's a football show. Because we used to get people coming up to us, men, women, children, and saying, I don't really like football, but I love your show because my partner, my girlfriend or boyfriend or wife or husband loves football, so they watch it, so I watch it, but I can watch it. So that was the secret of it. It was accessible, like Top Gear. You get people who enjoyed Top Gear who don't really like cars.
I used to always think one of the successes of it was very early we realised that there was a few people working on the show who were obsessed with football. They were really boring because they were really into the politics of it all and the real fan business and all that sort of stuff. And they were like, oh God, these guys, because, you know, most people that I knew loved football, loved watching it, loved playing it, enjoyed the whole, you know, the whole entertainment, the soap of it all. But when you get too into it, then it could, and I always say that's the problem with music shows as well. They always, the people who run the music shows always like music too much. And so you've got to love it, but not be obsessed with it. And I think we all just really liked football, but the entertainment side was important.
Yes, because you nowadays, you can't just say, I'm a football fan. You'll immediately be challenged to how much of a football fan you are. And if you can't name Preston North End's left back, oh, you're not a fan. You're not a fan. Have you protested outside the chairman's house with a brick? Oh, you're not a proper football fan. Yeah, exactly. Because he's taken all the money out of it. And you go, oh, wow. Whatever happened to just, you'd go on a Saturday for your entertainment and your tribal, your, because it is the only place that you can stand and scream and shout and holler, and it's so passionate. But then I used to drive home going, oh, we lost this week. I hope we win next week. Whereas now you have to phone into a radio station or write on Twitter, the reason that we lost is because the manager got everything wrong, and that's because the chairman won't back him. And I'm going, oh, whatever happened to just suck it up if you lose and hope that you win next week? It's you. But if you were to say, oh yeah, I'm a football fan, but this is how I watch, I don't actually know if we're playing 4-4-2 or a diamond formation. I've just gone, I've paid my money the same as everyone else, and I've watched this game, I think, and I've enjoyed it.
I think
you can't do that. People won't allow you to do that in football because they say you don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I think the humour,
same as the bloke next to me.
The humour has changed dramatically, I think, in it. But I think that's with social media and the loud minority of football fans who really care so much.
That, a little bit too much?
Yeah, I do think that. I think, you know, if you're really struggling with how your team are performing, and yet you still got a mortgage and kids to look after and stuff, and if that's taking priority in your life, you've got to ask yourself some big questions about
and people
your,
think it's their right process. To, because they pay their money to watch, they then think that it's their absolute right to voice whatever opinion they've got.
Yeah, but also the stakes were raised as well, because the, let's just take the Premier League for instance, but it probably went all the way down the leagues as well, that your average footballer, like we were just discussing just before we came started recording this, I reckon when I started on Soccer AM with you, the average footballer was possibly the high paid one, 10 grand a week, maybe 15. Go, oh, he's earning 15 grand a week. Now you're on hundreds, 250. Someone's, what's it? Sanchez, the rumoured $500,000 a week or something ridiculous like that now. And I think because the stakes have gone up, we want more, we demand more. If they're not performing, if they're not winning, we're just seeing all this money in front of us constantly. And I don't ever want to get involved in that ridiculous conversation about money, because it's
supply and demand. People use it for everything. Even footballers over the years who've said that they're depressed. We've got a lot more understanding now on mental health issues. But I remember 10, 15 years ago, you'd read that a footballer said, I'm depressed. And people would say, what have you got to be depressed about? You're earning tons of money a week. We were that stupid that people use money for everything. But I remember you even on 15 years ago on Soccer AM, when you made a point of saying, why is everybody obsessed with money? Tom Cruise is earning just as much money for his movie and no one's having a go at him for it.
They always do the footballer's wages in weeks as well to make it sound more. If he just said, oh, he's earning 3 million quid a year, you go, okay, maybe he's worth it. But when they put it down into a week, it sounds a lot of money. Anyway, let's get back to you, because it's interesting. When I started the show, you were busy knocking around in the lower divisions supporting Torquay. So going home, you were sometimes going home and away. You'd leave the show and just run because you had to.
Sometimes, every week.
Yeah, you did all the time, didn't you?
Every week.
It's kind of an obsession for you. And I remember, and the thing is about this, but all football actually, we became quite good friends with most of the footballers in the community, didn't we? I was amazed in lower football though that you were actually just kind of hung out with the players, didn't you? We sort of on the show started hanging out with Premier League players, but you were always hanging out with the lower division footballers, didn't you? Knew them by name?
Because I went home and away. So, and the thing is it was a bit weird. The first couple of years, it was a real novelty because I'd get phone calls from the chairman of Mansfield Town saying, please come to our game, have a parking space, come early, have a meal with us, sit in the director's box. And you can't help going, God, this is me. This is just little old me. I've gone from the terraces to sitting in the next to the chairman. And then after about a year and a half, of course, then you'd be in the players bar afterwards and then you'd meet them all. And so, yeah, I knew lower league players. But then after about a year and a half, 2 years, I went, I don't want to sit next to the chairman anymore. I want to be around the away end being loud. But I was clever. So I'd take the invitation of the parking space and then bugger off around the away end. But luckily, again, you just have to front it. I just have to say, I don't want to sit next to you. I want to go around there with those 58 other people because I've got my shirt on. And I remember going to Gillingham in the Cup. They were in the league above us. And the chairman said, come and sit with me. He said, I sit in the stand, but come and sit with me. So it was home end. And we beat them 3-0. The first goal, I stood up. So I'm sitting with the chairman at the Gillingham end. And I stood up. Oh, of course, the only press. And all this. And then we scored again. And I stood up. And he went, sit down. Really? Because we scored. And when we scored the third goal, he just put his arm across me. Don't stand up at all. Because I was in the away end with him.
There was a time I went
beaten up.
There's two matches that I went with you, which
Watford
really memorable. Watford. I'll go on to Watford in a minute, but let's talk about Brentford first. We went to Brentford.
Oh, you love this,
yeah? Because
Andy
you stood, yeah, because you stood there. It was just so bizarre. We're in the Torquay end, were we? Or I don't know. Was it actually Torquay playing? Was it? Or Brentford? I don't know. Anyway, who's the keeper? Who was the keeper of? Torquay or Brentford?
No, he was Brentford's keeper.
Oh, that's right. So we're watching Brentford and you just went, all right, Woody. And the goalie, like, actually on the pitch turns around and goes, all right, Helen. And it's like, what's going on that you can actually talk to the goalkeeper?
But
that's just
all
nuts, Helen.
Stemmed from he used to play for Northampton Town.
Cobblers.
It's true.
Okay.
And standing behind the goal, the away end, and he was making his debut. So he's in the programme. We've all looked at it and gone, well, can I swear? Can I say we just give him some shit? You know, like do. Right, he's on his debut. We'll give him a load of shit. Oi, Woody. So this just went on for 90 minutes in random places. The away end, someone shouting, oi, Woody, every 2 seconds. But he kept turning round and acknowledging it. And when I shouted, oi, Woody, he turned round, acknowledged it, and then went, oh, no, it's you.
Yeah.
So whenever he journeyed a bit, he'd come down and play at Torquay. I'd wait until it went completely quiet, those few seconds before kickoff, and shout from the middle of the pop side, oi, Woody, and I'd just get a thumbs up. So when we went to Brentford and he was in goal, I just gave it an oi, Woody, and he
so
just knew I was there.
And the time we went to Watford, it was the coldest night there's ever been recorded in Britain's history. It was so cold, and it was Torquay Watford in the Cup. I love Watford, as people know. And we were outside, and we didn't have a ticket, did we, or something? We were going to get tickets, but they hadn't turned up. What happened? Your memory's better than mine.
Yeah, you'd organised tickets.
Badly.
You'd organised freebie tickets badly, because I'd have my paid round the away end. You'd organised freebie tickets and got to the gate and they said, you know, and you're Tim Lovejoy off the telly. And they just went,
nope,
we don't have a ticket for you. You're wandering about outside, bumped into Luther Blissett.
Oh, you phoned Luther Blissett, didn't you?
Oh, I might have done.
Yeah, you phoned Luther Blissett, said we're outside in the cold. And Luther Blissett came out and then took us through the stand, past the dressing rooms where all the players were, onto the side of the pitch, and walked us round into the Torquay.
I think I was in.
Nice. Didn't you walk round with me?
I'm sure I went. Listen, this is, you know, kick off. I'm off.
And that's when we called it the Luther Blissett stand. And I love Luther Blissett. And
but it was more the fact that he just opened a side door and went, follow me.
Yeah, he just went, Tim, come on. It's like, it was unbelievable. It was fantastic. Now, they're just talking about that. This game has moved on, I think, from those days. Or maybe it's just me looking with rose-tinted glasses. But we seem to be very friendly in the early years of Soccer M with all the players, or a lot of the managers, a lot of the staff. And, you know, you just phone up Leicester City and say, you know, because they were a brilliant club, weren't they? They'd say, got any players around?
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, we've got a couple suspended or injured. Which ones do you want? Or, you know, Charlton Athletic were also a fantastic club for us. And there was no, there's no, what's the word I'm looking for? The reason why those two clubs were so successful, they were such a family atmosphere, both Charlton and Leicester, and they really joined in with us. We looked after them, they looked after
and
us.
And Middlesbrough and Palace.
Could get anything from
those clubs because, and I think they played the game. They needed us. It was only Manchester United, was it only Manchester United and Arsenal that never really gave us anything?
Right. I can tell you, Manchester United never gave us anything ever. It was Sir Alex Ferguson who used to say, I don't want to do anything with those clubs. So the only way we would get United players was by going via the sponsors. So it was just so bizarre. They never, whenever we had them on the show, they would never come live on the show.
That's right. They were never on the sofa.
Never.
Unless they just retired.
Yeah, exactly. And so what we would do is we'd go via Nike or one of their charities or something. And that's when we'd go and do a pre-record interview with them. That was the only way. And the United players used to ask us why they couldn't come on the show. And we used to say, because your gaffer won't let us. Yeah. But I got so frustrated by it that I used to make us every week phone them up and say, any chance we can have any of your players this week? Because it used to annoy me. Then Liverpool, who were all right, Gerard Houllier came along and said, we didn't take football seriously enough. So he wouldn't let us have any Liverpool players at the time. And Arsene Wenger had then started deciding that he wasn't going to let us have it. So we had three of the, you know, all the clubs, big red clubs, who were saying no to us. And it became quite hard. Jose turned up at Chelsea and was like, let's do the crossbar challenge.
He was great.
And so he embraced the media and knew how to embrace the media. That's why we loved him so much when he first arrived.
Yeah,
everyone in the game, I mean, people in the game don't like him so much now, but everyone in the game loved him at the time because he'd go, you want an interview? Here I am, you know, and they would all do it. And so, you know, so Harry Redknapp would always do it. Big Sam would always let us do it. So there's all these guys, but those three clubs stopped us getting access. And that was kind of the beginning of the end, I thought, for football entertainment shows like Soccer. I'm not saying it wasn't a great show after that, but that changed the whole atmosphere of the shows, the whole way they were put, because you couldn't get access to the players. That was a slow demise of it all.
Plus, we used to get players on that had been sent off or were injured.
Yes.
So they were accessible as well. Oh, all right, you're suspended or injured, go on Soccer AM. And then that changed as well. Of people going, if you're injured, you're in. Because before injuries, they just used to run them off, didn't they? Or have a bit of physio.
Whereas, injured, you're in, you're right.
And suspended. And then, all of a sudden that changed too. But plus, there was football on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So if they weren't playing on the Saturday, they were in training because they were playing on the Sunday or the Monday or travelling or something. And it became even weekends when there was no domestic football, they'd all be in China for a week, flogging shirts and stuff and doing exhibition matches. So it became impossible to get top flight
players on. So when I first joined Soccer M, we got no players on. There was really much of us.
Right.
Just nobody, just kind of people who were not that successful or, you know, just old players. And then we started getting players on.
Yep.
And I think the real massive, huge turning point.
After three? One, two, three.
Robbie Fowler. Yeah, Robbie Fowler came on, changed everything. The two guests who changed everything, Robbie Fowler and Noel Gallagher. Robbie Fowler came on and it was like, wow, we've got the biggest star in the country on our show. He joined in. And I also think there was another turning point on the show where Chelsea beaten Liverpool 4-2. And he was sitting there and he took the mickey out of me for something. I can't remember. And I just went 4-2 to him with my fingers in the air, went 4-2. And that was a real changing point as well, where we were joking with the football community and they loved it and they wanted to, you know, they wanted to come on the show. We had Rio on, we had Frank Lampard come on, John Terry came on. We basically Gazza, they were all coming on the show. It was just, it was amazing until they managers stopped it all.
And it was also, I don't think we realised that all footballers were watching Soccer AM.
Yeah.
Because we thought it was just a bit of nonsense for the fans. And I remember Gazza coming on and I remember going into the green room to say hello to him before we started. And he was nervous. He was pacing up and down and he was nervous. And he turned around and he went, oh, hell's bells. And that freaked me out because I'm going, right, this is Paul Gascoigne. He's gone hell's bells. And he said, I'm really, really nervous. I said, what are you nervous about? And he went, well, it's Soccer AM. I've watched it for years. Me mum watches it. His mum used to phone up. His mum used to ring up Soccer Extra.
Yeah.
When Soccer Extra was just a really dull phone-in show. His mum used to, and never say that she was Gaz's mum, but she'd phone up either sticking up for him or making a point or something. And to him, it was a big deal. We had Paul Gascoigne coming on our show. To Paul Gascoigne, it was a big deal because he was going on Soccer AM. Mm. And that was, I think, when we suddenly realised, well, we've got something here. This is what we've got is not just, we're not just grubbling about on Sky Sports 2.
Yeah.
Scratching a living, messing about. We suddenly thought, okay, people are watching this.
He said it'd come on if this true Gaza star. He said, I'll come on your show if, I think he came on a couple of times, but the first time he said, I'll come on your show if you show the footage again of Andy Townsend blowing out the side of his mouth. Do you remember Andy?
Yes.
Because they were flatmates up in Borough, weren't they, or something? Yeah. They were both playing for Borough at the time, and Townsend was coming backwards and forwards from the Midlands or something. So they just take the mickey out of each other all the time. And Gazza had, first of all, done a phono with us or something when we'd shown it. Do you know what? My memory's so bad. And if Sheephead and Fenners and Neil and all that are listening to this, they'll be going, no, that's not the story. But it's kind of there or thereabouts. And Gazza just loved that footage of him blowing out of his mouth like a trumpet. And
I hadn't remembered that, but I remember it now.
That's why I want to come on the show, so you show that. But I think he'd gone on Sucker Extra one time as well in a Gaza mask, hadn't
he? No, don't. This was
podcast had gone for about 3 hours, by the way.
Right, okay. This is one of the best Gaza stories ever that I can't believe that they haven't found the footage or something. So this was Goals on Sunday with Anna Walker.
Yeah.
Gaza was on with Glenn Roeder. And
another footballer, doesn't matter.
Chris Waddle.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, now Glenn Roeder he doesn't get enough credit for kind of looking after Gaza like he did. So there's the three of them sitting around the table. Gaza immediately starts messing about. He finds a cameraman's motorbike helmet. Just sitting up against a wall and puts it on during Goals on Sunday.
That's right, yeah.
So the camera's shown him sitting, and Anna Walker's gone, oh, Gaza's found a motorbike helmet. But then there's nothing funny anymore. So the camera started to zoom in just on Anna Walker and Glenn Roeder, who's holding it together. Mm. But all you can see is glasses of water shaking where Chris Waddle's laughing so much and Gaza's laughing so much. You can see just at the table wobbling. So the camera's just zoomed in to cut them out because this was serious football telly. Yeah, wasn't messing about. Whereas we'd have just sat back and gone, all right, do what you want. The next minute, the camera's panned back out again. And I promise you this, he did not do this on purpose. He went to take a sip of water in the motorbike helmet with the visor down. And he was serious. I swear he wasn't messing about. He went to take a sip of water and of course it bonked on the thing.
See,
Chris Waddle lost it.
I hate being the guy who goes, oh, in my day. But one of the problems happened towards the end of Soccer AM when I as the producer of the show, I literally couldn't get any footballers on anymore. I was so frustrated with it because they wouldn't do it unless they're out of contract. Well, it's not they wouldn't do it. They wanted to do it still, but they weren't allowed on it. And I think one of the big frustrations, I was finding that the fans were turning against the players and there was no access to them anymore. So where you get Soccer M and they come on and have a laugh and a joke with you and not just talk about football seriously, and you go, I actually like that guy. I like Rio Ferdinand, or I like whoever has came on the show. You go,
they're joining in.
Yeah, I don't know, who did we have? Michael Dubry one day. You know, he used to come on a lot, Dubs and all that sort of stuff. And you get them all on and they go, yeah, I like those guys. They're really good. You don't get that anymore.
You don't see them.
I promise you, if you meet Wayne Rooney, he's a really nice guy.
Mm.
And, you know, you meet Gary Neville, he's a good guy. I mean, everyone knows that now because he's done the commentary. But when Gary Neville retired from Manchester United, the whole football community, apart from United fans, hated him. But if you met him, you'd go, he's a really nice bloke. He's a good guy to hang out with. He's funny and everything else. But because no one had any access to him ever, you don't know what it's like. So you don't know. And then he turns up on commentary and starts talking about it from a fan's perspective and actually understands what the fans are going through. And you go, actually, Gary's all right. And they all are all right. It's just the clubs won't let us have access to them anymore. And the industry's gone a bit strange. We're so alienated from them in their shiny cars. We don't actually get to meet them anymore.
And you look at him and Carragher together as well. And also... They're young men. They're 22, 23, 24-year-old men. Do you think they're going to be boring and square? No. I mean, yes, we read the papers on the other hand, yeah, of all those other things. But yeah, social media has been quite good at a little bit more access. But again, it's monitored.
But you can't do anything as a celebrity. I mean, I've given up talking about football on Twitter because it's so moronic. I can't be bothered with it. You do a joke and it's just people can't, they take it so seriously. When did it all become so serious? I find it so, if I tweet about football, it's so aggressive and horrible. I just can't be bothered with it. Whereas if I tweet about anything else, everyone's fine. I don't get any
I've
grief
come
at all.
Back to Twitter now. I'm not on the telly anymore. I was off Twitter for about 4 or 5 years because I would just get personal abuse, which just wasn't very nice. And it was all about how I looked.
It's terrible, that, isn't it? Because I get that sometimes. If I talk about you, people will discuss how you look. And it's like, what's it got to do? No one actually, people do discuss how I look sometimes. But generally, it's women get that. Men don't. Much more.
Yes, yeah. And the thing is you obviously understand that these are strange people who are saying, get off my TV, you're old. And there's part of me that wants to reply and go, well, the alternative to getting old is to die. So I don't...
You do know there was a time on... Because I was the producer, so I used to read all the mail. So I used to read all our hate mail and our fan mail. So I was quite... I always thought I was quite thick-skinned until Twitter came along. I realized I wasn't. Yeah. But there was a stage where I started suddenly and the show started getting a lot of really bad hate mail. And I was like, what's going on here? What have we done? What's changed? And it was the fact that Sky had enabled people to email via their remote controls. And it was, you know, I remember back then it was the computers weren't as popular.
Oh, absolutely.
There weren't,
yeah,
as many computers around as there are now. So kids were getting hold of the remote control and going, oh, this is brilliant. And lads and stuff were going, oh, let's just slag off the TV shows and stuff like that. And then it will stop because it was too hard to do on your remote control. So it lasted about a month and then it just sort of petered away. Twitter comes along and, so if you're a footballer and you're trying to contact with the fans, it is so hard because you say one thing, you just get absolutely hammered constantly. And if you can be bothered to put up with that, then that's fine. But otherwise, let's talk about you quickly as well. Being a woman in football, I said to you once, are you the first woman broadcaster in football?
No.
You said no.
Yeah, no, not at all. Anna Walker.
Anna Walker.
Anna Walker. She was a good couple of years before me and did proper football. See, because I've always said I've never done proper football. I've been introduced sometimes at charity events as a commentator or, yeah, a pundit, and I've always gone up like totally waving my hands going, don't be ridiculous. I just front a nonsense show that's loosely based on football because I've never pretended to be neither pundit nor commentator.
Hopefully you're enjoying the podcast so far. We've decided to split this one into two parts because it is so long. Helen and me are just having a right old good chat about all things. We'll be back with part two, in a couple of days' time, maybe.
Yeah.
So anyway, for the time being, if you're enjoying this, please subscribe to us. You can obviously speak to us if you want. My Twitter address is @TimLovejoy, or you can email us dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. You can rate us as well. We'll be back with part two very shortly in a few days. But for the time being, peace and love, Joy.
Oh.